Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christa Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christa Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christa Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
Good morning, and welcome all of you to this celebration. We began this Mass, always call it on the name of our God, that is the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. the grace and the peace and the love of God be with all of you. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pause for just a few moments in silence. I know it's a little bit cold in here. Turn those thoughts to one side. Let us elevate our thoughts to God. And with humble and sincere words, we ask our God to forgive us, for so often we hurt our God when we hurt one another, when we fail to see Jesus in our brothers and sisters, and we ask for forgiveness. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask, Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins and bring us to everlasting life. To see how your people faithfully await the feast of the Lord's Nativity, enable us, we pray, to attain the joys of so great a salvation and to celebrate them always with solemn worship and glad rejoicing. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The desert and the parched land will exult. The steppe will rejoice and bloom. They will bloom with abundant flowers and rejoice with joyful song. The glory of Lebanon will be given to them, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the hands that are feeble, and make firm the knees that are weak. Say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. Those whom the Lord has ransomed will return and enter Zion singing, crowned with everlasting joy. They will meet with joy and gladness. Sorrow and mourning will flee. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. James. Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You too must be patient. Make your hearts firm, because the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not complain, brothers and sisters, about one another, that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing before the gates. Take as an example of hardship and patience, brothers and sisters, the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
From the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Jesus said to them in reply, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. Amen, I say to you, Among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The Gospel of the Lord. At the beginning of this Advent season, we changed liturgical years. We went from Cycle C with the Gospel of St. Luke to Cycle A featuring the Gospel of St. Matthew. Now, these Gospels and their approaches are very different in presenting the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke was primarily written for the Gentiles, for the Romans, while St. Matthew's Gospel was written for the Jewish people, written for a people who had an understanding of the Old Testament. They were a people who were full of expectation as they waited for the coming of the Messiah. So in this understanding and expectation, the Jewish people thought that someone would come as a precursor to the Messiah. Someone would come representing the greatest of all prophets, that being Elijah. So their thought process about the Messiah was that before he comes, there will be an Elijah figure who will be visible. And when you begin to see this Elijah figure, you know the Messiah is near. Well, when you read Matthew's gospel, what becomes very obvious is that John the Baptist is this Elijah figure. So if you're a good Jew and you're reading the Gospel of Matthew and you begin to read, obviously Matthew is saying that this Jesus is the Messiah. So being a good Jew, you first ask the question, okay, but where is the Elijah figure? And then you read about John the Baptist and realize, yes, here is the Elijah figure. And so this Gospel of St. Matthew begins to take form and it begins to take shape. The second part of this expectation of the Messiah was that different people at the time of Jesus had very different expectations of what the Messiah would be like. I think all of us remember about the zealots who thought there would be a military leader, someone who would overthrow the Roman government. Their Messiah was going to restore Israel to the glory days of David and Solomon, a great military leader, someone who would rule with strength and might and an iron fist. Then there was another thought, like those of the Essenes, who thought the Messiah would be a kind of fundamentalist leader, someone who would restore the true religion of Israel, because at the time of Jesus, the religion of the Jewish people was kind of spread apart and fragmented. So the feeling of this group was that the real Messiah was going to come to call Israel, the Jewish people, back to a strict observance of the law. The scribes and the Pharisees were really looking for this kind of Messiah, a fundamentalist leader who was dedicated to the law and its strict observance. There was also other understandings of the Messiah, and one of the main ones being based on the writings of the prophet Isaiah, who we hear quite a bit in this Advent season. We heard him today in the first reading. It was the idea that the Messiah would come for the weak, for the poor, for the fragile. And so if we remember the first reading, listen to the words in the first reading, some of the words. He comes with vindication. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared, the lame will leap like a stag. It is the beginning of a description of a Messiah that is caring and concerned about the poor, about those who are less fortunate, about those who are in need. So then here comes Jesus. Jesus comes along, and what happens? He's baptized by John the Baptist. And then each one of them, John and Jesus, go their separate ways. But in today's reading now, we read that John is in prison. And he hears about all the works of our Lord, everything that's going on, everything that Jesus has done. And he sends a couple of messengers with a question. Are you the one who is to come? Or do we look for another? And we know how our Lord replies. Jesus uses the prophet Isaiah as he says, go back and report what you hear and what you see. The blind see, cripples walk, lepers are cured, the deaf hear, dead men are raised to life, and the poor and the needy have the good news preached to them. You see, my friends, Jesus is really saying, yes, absolutely, I am the Messiah, but I'm the Messiah for the poor, not a military leader. And I'm not going to be a fundamentalist religious leader. The Messiah is going to be a Messiah for the weak, for the poor, for the needy. Jesus is basically telling them, just like he tells us, that if you want to be my follower, you must accept me on these terms, not on your own preconceived notions of what or who the Messiah should be. Sometimes we try to fit God and Jesus into our own box, don't we? In St. Matthew's Gospel, I think when you read it from beginning to end, there's a very clear understanding that the Messiah, because he's writing for the Jewish people, the Messiah is a Messiah for the poor and the downtrodden, for the less fortunate. In other words, Matthew says, if God is truly present, then the poor get taken care of. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. If God is present, then those who are weak and those who are vulnerable are taken care of. If you remember later on in Matthew's Gospel, and I'm sure you'll remember this when I tell you, Jesus says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and gave me drink. I was in prison and you visited me. And when he's asked the question, well, when did we do this? When you do it or did it to the least of my brothers and sisters, that's when you do it. That's when you did it. My friends, I think we all need to be conscious of this, or, you know, maybe a better way to say this, I know we all are conscious of this. We just need to kind of remind ourselves. The Advent season, especially with all of the readings from Isaiah, and even this year when we have the Gospel of St. Matthew, the Advent season is an opportunity to help us to become more mindful and introspective. And so, bluntly speaking, how are we doing in these areas? This is the question that we all kind of need to ask ourselves as we reflect during this Advent season. Advent season is a kind of season that we need to get a little more introspective, because we're waiting for the coming of that Christ child to enter into our heart. So we need to ask ourselves that question. And let me answer for myself. Some days I do reasonably well, but there are a lot of days when I fail even to come close. God really doesn't manifest himself in me even in a small way, and it's a real struggle. We have several weeks until Christmas, and so our Advent reflection should be to honestly look into our own lives, look into our own houses, so to speak. You know, ask ourselves that question, do we really see the caring for the needy and less fortunate a priority in our lives? Is that truly a part of our heart and our minds? You know, we hear this concept over and over again. It's an old concept, and I'm sure you've heard about it many times in your life. But it's such a very honest and pertinent concept during this time of the year, Advent. See, because, friends, I think we need people that we can give to. That's right, give to, because it is the very act of giving that we receive. It is in the act of sharing when we do for someone else that God is able to be within us at that very moment. And it may not just be giving someone something monetary, even praying for them, even just being there for them. That's when God is with us. I want God in my house, and I'm sure you want him in yours. So let's kind of look at ourselves to show that he truly is here. And I know he is. But this has to be a conscious choice that we start thinking about it in our minds, then it swells and travels into our hearts, but it culminates in our feet. In other words, we have to be people of action, not just of words. We need to accept the Messiah of God's choosing, not of our own concept and our own likeness. You know, and I think this can be a sobering and a very tough reality to live. However, it can be done if we allow Jesus, the beautiful Christ child, to enter into our hearts during this Advent and Christmas season. So I pray that you give it a try, just a little bit. You may even surprise yourself. May God bless you, and may He always give you strength and courage. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken to the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The Lord God keeps faith forever, and so we pray for the needs of all our sisters and brothers.
For our church, as we proclaim with joy the coming of the reign of God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
For prophets in our midst, for all who take risks to proclaim truths that we need to hear, let us pray to the Lord. For elderly sisters, brothers, and religious order priests, that they may enjoy the dignified care they so richly deserve as they continue to devote their lives to prayer and service, let us pray to the Lord. For the example of the Year of Mercy, as we pray especially for the elderly in our nation, that they may be treated with respect and compassion, and that we may more fully embrace their gifts of wisdom and grace, let us pray to the Lord. For the safety of those who serve in our armed forces, and for their families and loved ones, let us pray to the Lord. For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of John and Alex Arredondo, Evangeline Hernandez, Marcelino B. Gonzalez, Jesusita J. Canales, Delia Farias, and Ruben Moreno, and Alfred Ganem. Let us pray to the Lord. And now for all the prayers that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of these needs, let us pray to the Lord.
Loving God, you strengthen the hands that are feeble and make firm the knees that are weak. Hear these our prayers for the world that you love, and graciously grant them through the one whose coming is certain and whose day draws near, Christ our Lord. Amen.
partly accomplished for us your saving work through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
Father, it is right and just that we should give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. For all the oracles of the prophets were told you, the Virgin Mother belonged to you with love beyond all telling. John the Baptist sang of his coming and proclaimed his presence when he came. It is by his gift that already we rejoice at the mystery of his nativity, so that he may find us watchful in prayer and exalted in his praise. And so with the angels and archangels, with thrones and dominions, with all the hosts and the powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory.
We are the Lord.
house of salvation, giving thanks that you held us worthy to be in your presence and minister. Humbly we pray that partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. And remember, Lord, your church, spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, William Michael Mulvey, our bishop, and all the clergy. And remember our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy, welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Father Han Fang, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.